WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into spring. Adley Rutschman is here. Now we can just yell about when Grayson Rodriguez is going to get here. We don't have to yell about when the Ravens season is going to begin. We sort of know. We got OTAs. We got things happening. But there was some unfinished business late last week, and Luke was off the grid last week. Legitimately, we didn't get a chance to talk about much of anything in regard to baseball or football or the Preakness race where I spent the day on Saturday. Luke, you should come to the Preakness. It's become a little more genteel than I remember it in the 80s and 90s as I was there. It was a lovely day. Lots of people out there, lots of well-dressed young people. It's turned into a dress-up nice thing, like a Southern football game, which is way, way, way different than we used to go out there in the white beaters and the shorts and the grape smugglers and the flip-flops and bringing beer out there and bringing old used furniture and stuff like that. But the Preakness is over. I wore my Baltimore Colts belt buckle. My son found my Baltimore Colts belt buckle from 1976. I wore it because I figured, well, they're running horses and it's a horse race. It was either that or the Steve Miller belt buckle with the fly like an eagle unicorn on it. How are you? How was your week? And certainly we saw each other last week, sort of under weird circumstances. There will be a press conference at 3:30 at Owings Mills. John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta will attend. They're signing Lamar, right?
I did get that question quite a bit from people on Twitter and then fans in my life. But you know, my initial reaction for that was, I think we're going to get a resolution on Sam Cook. And we knew this from the moment they drafted Jordan Stout. Sam Cook wasn't going to be the punter for the Ravens anymore, which is strange. I mean, think about it. You know, as I put it out on Twitter, just you know, my initial reactions with this. I mean, Sam Cook played with Jonathan Ogden, and J.O.'s been in the Hall of Fame for almost a decade now. You know, he played with Ray Lewis.
Did he play with Deion? Deion was a year before.
No, Deion was 04 and 05. He missed him by 1 year.
He missed Deion by a year.
He missed Deion by a year. He missed Peter Boulware by a year. You know, but he played with J.O. He played with Ray Lewis. He played with Adalys Thomas. I mean, this is a long time ago. I mean, really,
Trevor
when you think
Price,
about it.
He played
for Brian Billick. You know, he was the last player left from the Billick era. And
played with Steve McNair.
Yeah. I mean, that was a long time ago at this point. It's crazy. It's one of those things where it doesn't feel like it's that long ago, and then suddenly it's a long time ago, right? I mean, the years just, they fly by, and it's amazing. We're talking about over a quarter century of Ravens football at this point. But, you know, you mentioned Adley Rutschman at the beginning of the segment. You're hoping one day that the Orioles are having a press conference for Adley Rutschman in the way that the Ravens had one for Sam Cook. You know, maybe more impactful than a punter might be, but Sam Cook, what a run. And I love the fact that he got his flowers, and because that doesn't happen a whole lot. I mean, Ed Reed went and played for the Texans and the Jets for a year, and yeah, he came back and they did it a couple years later. But for a guy to just flat out be saying at that point in time, I'm done. And you know, even if Sam deep down, and I think some of his comments, I think he wanted to play a little bit longer. I think he wanted to play another year. You know, and that was kind of the sense I had gotten, you know, when they did draft Jordan Stout. But I mean, what a great way to send out a guy who isn't going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see if he's in the Ring of Honor. I wonder if you'll see the Ravens eventually put, quote, the Wolf Pack in the Ring of Honor, because you know, it'd be a nice way to recognize Sam and Morgan Cox. And obviously Justin Tucker at this point looks like he could be a Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer one day. He's been that great for that long, but for Sam to get the recognition that he got, and I think for me, Nestor, just seeing Sam get so emotional. I mean, you and I talked with him at Green Mountain Station out in Hempstead a few years back. I know been able to hear that on our airwaves here in recent days, and a great conversation with someone who's seen it all, has played with just about everyone of note in team history, other than some of the guys from the really early days. But
by the way, he didn't mention Billy Cundiff.
Yeah, he did not mention Billy Cundiff.
I thought that was really weird.
Yeah, I think it's so awkward. I think it really is just awkward. And I think a lot of people really had admiration for how Billy handled, you know, the miss.
I actually found that interview where Billy sat down with us in
a couple years later, right?
A couple years later. And I just went through and I thought, he mentioned Stover, and there was another. Yeah. Oh my God, it was Billy Cundiff. Like, I'm thinking of him holding, and I'm thinking of how many fake passes, real passes, runs. You know, like, he was a different kind of punter, and a guy we personally liked a whole lot in a different way than I liked Greg Montgomery, or in a different way than I liked Kyle Richardson. Just a different kind of cat, Sam Cook, a real football player.
I was just going to say, punters and kickers, they have this stigma, and it's not really fair because these guys work so much on their craft. I mean, they really do. But even, quote, real football players will poke fun at kickers. I mean, how many times did you hear Terrell Suggs make fun of Tucker and guys of that nature over the years? But Sam Cook was a football player, and we've had chances to talk to him at length, long sit down interviews, of course, as I mentioned, and just his story, the fact that he made it to the NFL to begin with, when he flat out acknowledged his technique was terrible. You know, one thing he talked about was when John Harbaugh and Jerry Rosberg arrived in 2008, you know, I mean, Sam was going into his third year in the NFL. You know, it had some statistical, you know, success to the point where he was a legitimate NFL punter, but they basically, you know, Jerry Rosberg kind of said, you know, you've got some pretty good numbers for someone who has no idea what they're doing from a technique standpoint. And, you know, Sam, being Sam, took that as a challenge and embraced that rather than, you know, it would be easy to be standoffish and to think, oh, the new regime doesn't like me and I'm going to be out of here. Instead, he became better. And for someone who only had one Pro Bowl selection, and he's not going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, punters don't go to the Hall of Fame unless you're Ray Guy, right? I mean, it's reality. But it was fascinating to not just hear people within the Ravens organization speak of Sam's influence on the position, but Pat McAfee, who is a media star, media darling as far as football. He's a WWE commentator. He wrestled at WrestleMania. He talked about this, and he was a two-time Pro Bowl punter, keep in mind. Talked about Sam with the different rugby-style kicks and the different things that he did, really being an innovator for the position. And now guys like Jordan Stout coming out of college, you know, fourth-round pick out of Penn State, who will be the Ravens' new punter. You know, they all do those different types of kicks. I mean, it used to be very straightforward. I guess you'd get the, you know, you'd have the coffin corner style kick. You'd try to pooch it down at the 2 yard line. But beyond that, it was fairly straightforward. I mean, John Harbaugh talked about this during the press conference. So cool to see Sam get the recognition that he received. It was very much deserved, very much one of the all time Ravens, which is not something that you typically say about a punter. Even punters who go 16, 17 years like Sam Cook did, it's usually playing with five different teams, right? I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the position. You end up being someone that's well-traveled, a journeyman,
well, especially
you
when you get into your 30s, right?
So, yeah.
And we haven't talked about him or this, and I ran into DaCosta at Preakness, but not Harbaugh. But for me with Harbaugh, and he bristles at this 15 years, I mean, John's probably going to the Hall of Fame if he wins. If Lamar's Lamar and we win, John's going to the Hall of Fame, right? John's a special teams coach. That is his specialty in life. It's what he did. It's what he's the greatest at. The fact that he came in, inherited a punter that he might not have liked, and that punter lasted the whole time. Matt Stover would say the same thing about Billick. Billick didn't really like Matt Stover in the beginning. And really, Billick never had another kicker. And then you think about where Harbaugh is to come in here and all of these years, Stover to Cundiff and the Cundiff miss aside and in on Harbaugh. Harbaugh should play a bigger role in that. Harbaugh should stand up and say, I should have called timeout. Like, probably the real sin in that was John Harbaugh's sin, not Billy Cundiff's sin. So I want to be clear on that. And it cost me a lot of money, a lot of heartache, and it's terrible. And Billy Cundiff's out in Phoenix right now. But for Harbaugh to have never had another punter and to be a special teams guy who does it at a scientific level and brings in Randy Brown and, you know, all the Rosberg, all the scientists that he's had, but it's John's jam in the way that classic rock is my jam, you know, in the way that how sports franchises are run. I care about that more than most people do. He cares about punting more than, and he never wanted another punter other than Sam Cook. And I think when they made that decision 4 weeks ago to draft a punter and make that tough call that they talked about to him, you know, that's Harbaugh moving on from Jeff Fiegels, right? I mean, like, Harbaugh's had his guys, but this is Harbaugh's guy who's a special teams guy who will be the greatest special teams NFL head coach in history, right? That's a fact, right? There's no Frank Gans, You know, he is the greatest special teams head coach ever. And for him to have had one punter and never thought about another punter, Sam Cook made $35 million kicking footballs. I mean, Sam had made a nice living, made a nice life, and now apparently might be here for the next 15 or 20 years, right? His kid might be punting for the team from now, right?
Who knows? And that's the aspect of this that I wrote a little bit about at BaltimorePositive.com. Just, you know, it ends up being a win-win for you. I mean, you, first of all, it's good to treat your longtime Ravens with that kind of respect. The fact that they said, hey, there's a chance here, and they knew they were drafting a punter, but they tell him there's a chance we're taking a punter. And Sam's going to be 40 in August. He gets it. He spoke about this in his press conference, talking about it with his wife, knowing that it was either going to be this year, next year, or the year after that, right? I mean, you know, you're not punting until you're 50. You know, Tom Brady might play quarterback till he's 50, but no one else plays that long. So you know,
Stover's still good from 45.
Yeah, it might be. Just needs that kickoff specialist, right? So, but I think, you know, you give the heads up, you treat them with respect, you bring in another player, you know that Sam is invested. I mean, lives in Carroll County. His kids are older. They're not grown yet, but they're older. I mean, they're not little.
Here. He's not moving them to a cornfield.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So you know that there's a good chance that if you handle this right, and if you want to, and presumably, obviously they did want him because he's now part of their coaching staff as a special teams consultant, but you have an opportunity now to keep him around. You know, Sam being the guy that he is as someone who works out will keep himself in shape. Never say never. If Jordan Stout goes out and has a really bad hamstring pull in week three, I'm not going to sit here and say it's not impossible that Sam Cook might be their punter for, you know, and be activated and do that.
Well, if the Colts need a punter in week nine and they're 9-3 and he can go kick the football
and try to win a championship
and hotel and get a ring, I would think he would think about doing that.
I
at $100,000 a week, I think he would go do that.
I mean, I just think it's a matter of what are the circumstances. I don't think that's necessarily the most likely outcome. I do think that Sam, being someone who says if he's going to retire, I think he really in his heart of hearts thinks he's retired. Now, we've also seen guys change their mind. But my point is, you keep him in the organization. You now have such a great resource. As much as you can talk about John Harbaugh, Chris Horton, Randy Brown, you know, TJ Weiss, all the different special teams coaches they have. And they have a lot of them compared to most teams. You bring in Sam Cook, or you keep Sam Cook around to mentor Jordan Stout and to, you know, give the rest of the coaching staff feedback, give him tips. But let's not forget about the holding aspect, the holding element of this, as you mentioned a few minutes ago. I mean, Jerry Rosberg, several years back, I remember him saying Sam Cook was the best holder in the history of the NFL, which I have no idea if he is or not, but it speaks to how proficient he is at that. And we know how important that job is as it pertains to Justin Tucker and Nick Moore, their long snappers. So you keep Sam around. You don't I don't want to say disgrace. You don't disrespect the guy by, you know, just kicking him out, you know, kicking him out the door and say goodbye. You know, you give him his flowers. There are a lot of people at the press conference. Great videos.
Best press conference in the history of the Ravens, by the way.
Marshall Yanda's was great too. You know, we kind of forget about it because COVID happened. Like literally everything shut down the day after that. But Marshall's was really good. They do these things so well. I mean, we can talk about other elements of, you know, wide receiver and different things of that nature that we might complain about from time to time. But these types of things they do very, very well. And they did right by him. And they get a win-win situation because they have their punter now who they clearly really, really like. They don't. They wouldn't draft a punter in the fourth round if they didn't love the guy, I would hope. And on the flip side, you keep Sam around as a resource. Who knows what's going to happen? Never say never. If they have an unforeseen need at the position, maybe Sam can fill in or whatever, or he just becomes a really good coach for you. You know, that's good. You know, you want people who stick around and stay for the long haul. And, you know, you and I see Jameel McClain in the building on a regular basis and, you know, him kind of filling in, you know, succeeding OJ on a day by day job basis as far as that element and that job within the organization.
By the way, I love the Sam Cook retire because I got to see OJ. OJ's doing well.
Exactly. It was awesome seeing OJ.
Yeah.
Always great seeing OJ Brigance. But
so Zach Orr too.
Yeah, exactly. He's back now as an inside linebackers coach. I mean, it's, and I want to say it's not it's not just the Ravens that have this. There are other organizations, you know, model organizations. And you think of the 5 to 10 best organizations in the NFL, I think you'll find a lot of similar stories to what the Ravens have. So I don't think it's completely unique, but it's very indicative of your culture, indicative of your success, indicative of the respect that you have for people, that you have players, coaches, different individuals move on. And how many times, you know, front office members, we've seen that on how many different occasions, and they come back. And they might not come back in the same role, and it might be a different responsibility, different obligations that they have as far as whatever their job title is, but they want to be back. They want to be part of it, even if it's in a different capacity. That's cool. So for Sam Cook to get his flowers and for them to have him transition into another role, and you keep him around and he can mentor Jordan Stout, I mean, that's a win-win, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com. And you hope Jordan Stout becomes, you know, Sam Cook said he's going to try to make him the best punter in the league. So that right there, Sam's not going to have an ego about it. He's going to go in, show up, tell him everything he knows, and we'll see if Jordan Stout can ultimately do the work and become Sam Cook, and maybe even better than Sam Cook eventually. I mean, I think that Sam would be the first to tell you he's hoping that for Stout. But we also know those are going to be big shoes to fill, and it's going to be helpful for him, for this rookie, to have a seasoned veteran, former NFL punter in the building, really helping him out and giving him every tip that he can.
Well, if you're around this week and you hear Sam Cook from Greenmount Station from a snowy night right before the Ravens lost the last time that we were all together in the playoffs a couple years ago, you can go check that out. It was right before the plague. There might have been some coronavirus mentions. I don't even know what was in that thing. It was in January, 2.5 years ago, but it was a hell of a conversation with Sam Cook. We're going to be out having great conversations this week. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour goes back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Letting ourselves play. Got some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets we'll be giving away, as well as our friends at Window Nation with 2-for-1 windows. I'll be telling you all about that. We're going to have Harley Magnin on the show as well, as our friends from Goodwill and what they're doing for jobs around here. Three great sponsors, two great shows this week. We're going to be at Black Swan on Thursday in the afternoon. They're actually closed. Stop by, get dinner at Black Swan. Lovely place. Everybody's been telling me to go over there, so I'll be there on Thursday. Can't wait. Speaking to Jameel McClain, he's involved with the folks as well, so I think Jameel's going to be stopping by and be a part of the show on Thursday. Friday, we're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium, overlooking the Timonium racetrack, talking a little gambling, a little wagering, a little Memorial Day weekend, some ponies for sure, and the Preakness Stakes over the weekend. Had a great time out at the Preakness. Got thrown out of the press box. First time I've ever been looked at while I'm wearing a press pass and told you have to leave. It was really weird. So I'm going to be writing about how the media gets treated like manure, just in general, as an old guy, but getting thrown out of the press box at Pimlico, that was an all-timer. At least I had a beer. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.